came up as Donna Noble, so I wasn't sure about the phone glass.
I came up as whom?
Oh, just some person. Equal member. But you're all good. This is mic one.
Sounds good.
Cool.
So as you can.
This is the chair mic.
Sounds good.
This is mic two.
Very good.
Let's go around this way. You can hear the bridge going on.
This is mic four.
Yep.
This is mic three.
Yep.
This is mic 10.
Check.
This is testifier 1.
Check.
Testifier 2.
Check.
Mic 15.
Check.
Mic 6.
Check.
And final mic.
Check.
Delay.
Awesome.
Very strange.
Sounds good.
It?
Thank you.
Yep.
Good evening. Bye.
Now, how did you get there? You pressed the gold button or the red button?
Well, it's red because it's recording now.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's only recording when they have the audio turned on. So don't worry
if
it's like we're a little past the sound check. Uh-huh. So we're going to go ahead.
I'd like to call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, January 17th, 2023. Let the record reflect the time is 3:16 p.m. Today we have present Representative Sadler, Representative Crocs, Representative Carrick, Representative Fields, Vice Chair Wentworth, and myself, Chair Sumner. Staff will be assisting us today are Kevin Allen with House Records, Zachary Longhorn with the LIO, and Clark Bickford, my staff and committee aide for House Labor and Commerce. On the agenda today, we have one item, which is House Bill 100 from Representative Armstrong. We've heard and worked on this bill over the interim, and today we're going to bring it back for written testimony and public testimony. Representative Armstrong is approached the committee with a name on the record. If you would like to make a statement before we begin,
sure. Thank you, Chair Sumner. Thank you, members of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Representative Jenny Armstrong. I represent West Anchorage, and today I'm honored to be back in front of you to hear testimony for House Bill 100. As a two-sentence recap, House Bill 100 would bring paid family leave to the state of Alaska by providing 18 weeks of paid leave to the state, while also creating an insurance mechanism whereas for any employer in the state to be able to offer paid family leave. It'll increase competition within the state and allow us to immediately work on our recruitment retention issues while also greatly and immediately benefiting families. So thank you for having us here and looking forward to getting started.
Thank you, Representative Armstrong. Vice Chair Ruppert, do you have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Chair Sumner. I would move to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill Number 100, Version B, also referred to as 33-LS0480-B.
Okay, without objection, the committee substitute for House Bill 100 has been adopted. We will start with invited testimony. Please keep in mind that we have a hard call 3:50 today for House rules. And we have to get through public testimony as well. So first we have Val Zanichuk. Sorry if I mispronounced that. New Hampshire small business owner. No. Okay. Possibly. We have Trevor Storrs, President and CEO of Alaska Children's Trust. Okay. Rich Cities. Okay, we're back on the record. Let's try this again. We have Val Zanichuk. Sorry if I mispronounced that.
No, that is correct.
Go ahead and put your name on the record and begin your invited testimony, please. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Val Zanichuk. I'm the president of Graphicast. It's a small manufacturing company located in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. and we have been involved with the paid family medical leave program in New Hampshire since last January, so just a year now. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them, because I can just go through what we did to set this up, how it's working. If there's anything specifically that you're interested in, I'll certainly be happy to answer that for you. If not, I'll just go ahead and give you some background. This program was set up by Governor Sununu. It was actually offered several years ago, was not accepted by the legislature at that time. The controlling party in the legislature was looking for a mandatory program. Governor Sununu felt that to be within the context of New Hampshire's history, that a voluntary program would be more appropriate. And so eventually that program got through. It was made available about this time last year. I felt that the value of this type of program is incredibly important for a small company like mine. We only have 25 people, and it's very difficult to accommodate people if they have any sort of family issue. We've had several instances prior to the paid family medical leave where we had people out of the office, out of the building, taking care of an elderly parent or trying to recover from an accident, where the paid family medical leave would have been a real stress saver to provide some sort of income to those people during those instances. So when it was made available, we did apply for it. The way it works in New Hampshire is that the state employees, of which there were about 7,000, have the program provided by the state, and that group of 7,000 provided the actuarial basis for the insurance company who bid on providing this insurance to base their premiums, and then the state made private individuals and private companies able to tag on to the base of the state's insurance. So we applied for this with just our 25 people. We decided that a six-week paid family medical leave would be appropriate. Our experience in the past was that if people were out, 6 weeks seemed to be about the length of time that seemed to make sense for them. The premium that we were offered was $5,000 for the year for all employees. And the way the state program works is the company can pay for 100% of the premium. We can just make it available to the employees and pay zero and let them pay for it out of a payroll deduction or any combination in between. We decided to pay for it ourselves. We just felt it was a good benefit, and in our area, which is relatively rural, we do have a few big companies that have some pretty rich benefits programs. So for us to be competitive in a tight job market, we felt this would be a good program to offer. The insurance company offered us a discount on that premium if we decided to keep our existing short-term disability, which we did. So they gave us a 40% discount, so that the short-term disability would be the primary insurance for our employees if they were out for any sort of medical issue, and that the 6 weeks of paid family medical leave would be added on the back end of the short-term disability. So that got our premium down to $3,000, and then the state offered a tax incentive of half of that $3,000 against our business enterprise tax, which is one of the business taxes the state uses here. So it meant our net premium to provide the paid family medical leave to our 25 employees was $1,500, which was quite affordable compared to what we're paying for health insurance and some of the other things. So we made it available to let the employees know. It's been in place for a year. Luckily, we haven't had an employee who's needed it, but it is there, and you know, we're hoping that, you know, if indeed something comes up where it may be necessary to use, that it'll work as smoothly as we hoped. So I think, you know, for us to offer this was a no-brainer for us. But I mean, that was my feeling about how, you know, I like to provide for our employees. Right now, I think statewide, it's only about 3 or 4% of all employees covered by this voluntary program. There are about 600 individuals who have purchased this themselves individually. Their premium is $5 a week, so it's incredibly affordable for an individual to do that. Not everyone, obviously, thinks that way, but it's there, and hopefully it will begin to grow in usage. State's a little frustrated, I think, in that after a year, there aren't more people taking advantage of this. They do have a pretty extensive marketing program to try to promote it more. But I think given the first year of the voluntary program, they're satisfied that we've started down that path. And, you know, hopefully more will go on. I don't know, you know, at this point, if the initial premium level is sustainable. It's pretty reasonable for insurances. So I'm assuming the insurance company knew what they were doing with that 7,000 employee base, and they properly presented the premiums. We'll see if anything changes going forward, but so far there have been no changes to the premium for the program. So we're still, you know, pretty happy with a net $1,500 cost for something as beneficial as this. It does provide up to 60% of the employees' wages, so much like short-term disability, which is at the same level, it would be something that would at least, I think, cover most of the normal day-to-day expenses and allow them to, you know, be out taking care of a family member or bonding with a new child in the family without the type of concern they would have had they been out on a unpaid leave. So we hope they take advantage of it when those situations occur. But so far, we haven't had that opportunity. So that's where we are on it. If you have any questions, I certainly would be happy to answer those.
Questions? Representative Thomas.
I do, but I think I would like to wait till we hear all the testimony.
Yeah.
He's okay with it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Zanchuk. We'll move on to Trevor Storrs, President and CEO of Alaska Children's Trust. And Mr. Storrs, please put your name on the record and begin your writing testimony. Thank you.
This is just a voice check, making sure you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Fantastic. For the record, I'm Trevor Storrs, President and CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust. As the statewide lead organization focused on the prevention of child abuse and neglect, we know how important it is to ensure new parents have the time and financial support to build a healthy foundation with their children. Policies like HB 100 are key in safeguarding the positive health of children, setting the next generation on the right path, and reducing the risk of a family entering the child welfare system or experiencing societal ills like homelessness, substance misuse, or domestic violence, to name a few. The first 3 years of life are essential time of development for babies. The child's brain has over 80% of its development in these first years. Stress of a newborn in the family, compounded by lack of support systems, can lead to a lack of connection, financial strain, frustration, and ultimately, the abuse and neglect of a child. Over 40% of children in Alaska who experience abuse or neglect are under the age of 4, with children aged 0 to 1 at the highest risk. Shaken baby syndrome has been shown to be reduced when paid family leave policies are available. Since Alaska ranks 38th in the nation for child well-being by the Kids Count program, we should be looking at every possible solution to help children and families thrive like HB 100. Paid leave supports new parents by helping to establish healthy patterns that promote long-term cognitive and social development for the child, increases rate and duration of breastfeeding, which reduces the risk of infection, asthma, obesity, and sudden infant death syndrome, and it can increase the economic stability for young families who are at the bottom of their earning power and usually close to the poverty line. We do recognize there is an upfront cost to employers. However, the long-term benefits of paid family leave include reducing long-term expenditures and more employee time in the workplace, a reduction in the occurrence and length of childhood illnesses, which lowers private and public health costs, and reduces the time working parents must take away from their job. And it gives parents and caregivers time to search for quality child care that meets the unique needs of their family and ensures a smooth return to their workforce. Paid leave also benefits the community, and a specific thing of the child care system that's being discussed in the legislature today, by reducing the demand for infant child care slots, which are both expensive and challenging for parents to access, and decreases the stress on the child care system. As Governor Dunleavy said in the State of the State address just last year, kids are a blessing. They shouldn't be viewed as a burden. But we all have to accept that raising a family today is more challenging than when many of us were growing up. Paid parental leave supports the governor's Healthy Family Initiative while also supporting his Open for Business initiative. If we want to change the current trend of our young families leaving the state, we can not only look at energy costs, but the entire system that supports these families. Paid family leave is critical to reversing the current migration. We urge you to support HB 100, which would establish the state of Alaska as a leader in family-friendly workplace policies, paving the way for higher quality workforce and strong economic growth, and most of all, healthy Alaskan families. Thank you for your consideration, and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Storrs. We're going to move on to Tamar Ben Yosef. You're on.
Yes.
Okay, everyone. Please put your name on the record and begin your invited testimony. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Hi, my name is Tamar Ben Yosef. I am the Executive Director of the All Alaska Pediatric Partnership. I'm writing in support of also 100 Version B, paid family leave, in support of the shift and in support of the shift toward an insurance-based family leave policy for all state employees. H&P2 is a statewide nonprofit organization with a staff of 12, and we focus our efforts on solutions that support the health and wellness of Alaska's children and their families. We operate the program Help Me Grow Alaska that provides resource and referral navigation and connection to all Alaskans prenatal to age 26 at no cost to them. Our board of directors is a diverse group of individuals made up of pediatric medical providers, attorney, financial advisor, nonprofit executive. Some of them are parents, some are not. In 2017, our board approved a 12-week parental leave policy with 8 weeks of paid leave because they understood the vast importance of paid parental leave from the perspective of the mother's health, the child's health, the family's health, and the health of the organization. At the time, there were only two staff employees. I was one of the two, and the other was our current director of programs. I've been with APP for going on 9 years, and she has been with us for nearly seven. Was it challenging from the organization's perspective? Yes, 100%. But our children weren't born during that time, are 4 and 5 years old, and we're still working full-time jobs at AGP2, a job that we love, employing 10 other, mostly women, in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. As an organization of this size, we can usually handle one employee being out for an extended period of time without needing to hire a temporary person in their place or to utilize a contractor. But inevitably, the burden falls to other staff who are already operating at maximum capacity most of the time. If more than one or two employees would need to be out for an extended time, we could not afford to both offer the 8 weeks of paid leave and pay for an additional staff or contractor to cover their duties while they're out. The structure as proposed by HB 100 version B would allow us to continue offering our policy of paid leave without putting the organization and finances or the services it provides to other families around the state at risk. In conclusion, in 2024, women should not need to choose between the freedom to work and advance in their career and their naturally given right to have children and be mothers. Our governor has stated that he wants Alaska to be a place that is welcoming to families. A vote in favor of this bill is a clear message that you want Alaska to be a place where families can thrive. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we will move into public testimony. We're going to set a 1 minute time limit because we have a strict cutoff time for 3:50. And if some testimony is missed, please email house.labor.and.commerce@aka.gov. So we will open public testimony. Is there anybody in the room wanting to testify? Okay, seeing nobody, we will go online. Looks like we have a Lori Wolf from the Forker Group. Please put your name on record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Lori Wolf, for the record, President and CEO of the Forker Group. I actually was prepared for 2 minutes of testimony, so I'll do my best in the moment to cut it down. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on and support of House Bill 100. As a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, we serve many roles, including producing a lot of research around the nonprofit workforce. That research is pertinent in this conversation as it reflects the current Alaska workforce shortage, a salary and benefits report, and a report that we do, the gender pay gap in Alaska and in the nonprofit sector with the Department of Labor. In each of these reports, we offer concrete solutions to solve some of Alaska's most pressing workforce concerns, and in each case, providing family-friendly workplace policies that address a broad definition of paid family leave from child care to elder care is a key factor in a welcoming, more equitable, and more vibrant, stable workforce. I think we can agree that Alaska should be a leader in the recruitment and retention of a strong workforce and one that leads but not lags behind proven practices. It's no secret that Alaska is facing both a childcare crisis and an out-migration of our workforce. We have many experts who could share that data with you. Today, I lend my voice to encourage the state to do all that it can to recruit and retain a full workforce. To be sure, when the state is understaffed, as it is the current situation, the work of nonprofits suffer from delayed payments and missed opportunities.
Thank you.
The state can do more, and I welcome the opportunity to speak more to the topic.
And we welcome my written testimony. Next, we'll move on to Jamie Morgan, the American Heart Association. Please put your name on the record and begin your testimony in 1 minute. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jamie Morgan, testifying on behalf of the American Heart Association. We are in strong support of this important legislation that will benefit Alaska's workforce and overall community health. We know that taking family and medical leave is important for the health of adults and children, especially their heart health. Research has shown that chronic stress is a predictor of cardiovascular mortality and morbidity. Chronic stress, especially work-related or job strain, is associated with a significant increase in risk for cardiovascular disease. Research has shown that time off from work can reduce stress and its potential effect on the likelihood of developing cardiovascular disease. Access to paid family and medical leave is lowest among workers with the greatest needs. People with higher incomes, college degrees, and full-time jobs are more likely to have paid medical and family leave. Those who work in production, transportation, and service sectors have some of the lowest rates of access to paid leave, but we can change that through passage of this bill. Parental leave allows mothers and fathers to take paid time away from work to bond with a new child after birth, adoption, or placement in foster care. A father's involvement has been significantly associated with emotional, psychological, behavioral, and cognitive benefits to children, and maternity leave has had a positive effect on the return of mothers to the workplace and has been associated with increased rates of breastfeeding, which has been shown to improve the heart health of the parent and baby. In closing, too many workers are forced to sacrifice their savings or their jobs when they need time off to bond with a new child or care for themselves or their family. All workers, no matter where they live or who their employer is, should have access to paid family and medical leave. Paid leave helps children and families thrive, which improves their overall health and benefits the economy. Thank you for your time, and we urge your support of HB 100.
Thank you, Mrs. Morgan. Moving on, we have Ed Martin from Kenai. Mr. Martin, please put your name on the record and begin your testimony. You have 1 minute. Mr. Martin, if you're there, begin your testimony, please. Okay, we'll go back to the room. Is there anybody for public testimony in the room? Seeing nobody, we will close public testimony. Were there any questions for invited testimony? Yeah, Representative Bright, you have questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. Through the chair. I was looking at the dates on how long, so it's about 4.5 months of work weeks is what the is asking for here. Why so long?
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Bright. In current statute, we have 18 weeks unpaid leave. We just simply changed that to 18 weeks paid.
It's not, sorry. Oh, yeah. Is there any studies or anything that it's saying that any of this amount of time or anything like that?
Thank you, through the chair. I think a lot of studies would say that I think up to a year can actually be most beneficial. There's a number of studies. ACLA was passed in the early 90s, I think shortly before FEMLA, the Federal Medical Family Leave Act, and they chose it. I believe they chose that 18 weeks number then. So this is a number that's been around since the early 90s. But I'm not sure what data they used at the time to choose that number, and we just chose to keep everything as is and move it from unpaid to paid.
Thank you.
Representative Cross.
Thank you, through the chair. I would ask any of the people that called in today. I realize this isn't available in Alaska, although I think one group said that they are providing it on their own. Anyway, what I'm trying to find out is how this happens. People are given extended leave, and that's been happening over the years, and how many percentage-wise, I guess, maybe, or something like that, of extra employees that you had to hire to be able to provide that benefit, whether it's formal or informal, and then just any, I guess, statistical data. I'm trying to get some sort of a feel for how many people would be taking advantage of this program. So if you could provide that, I'd appreciate that. Just send us an email. And then specifically for Mr. I think it was Zanichuk. I just wanted to confirm,
yes,
through the chair. Let's see. There is a private insurance carrier is taking on the risk of this program in New Hampshire. Am I understanding that correctly? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then your business pays $1,500 per year per employee. Is that?
No, sir. $1,500 per year for the entire workforce.
For the entire 25 or how many you said?
Right. So for all 25 employees.
And then do the employees pay an additional $5 per pay period? I wasn't quite clear on that.
No, they don't pay anything. I'm picking up the entire premium for the company. If an individual wanted to buy this insurance, for example, let's say their company was not offering it, they could go in as an individual to the insurance carrier, and it would only be $5 per week for that individual. But that's for people who aren't affiliated with any company that's offering the program.
Okay. So, Paula?
Go ahead.
Yep. So then it's $1,500 a year total cost to your company.
That's correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Representative Armstrong, did you have a comment on that?
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, Representative Cox, we have a ton of data on BASIS. I can share with you a couple of things for the record. We have a lot of states that have already been doing this, individual companies. Two-thirds of businesses reported that they managed to absence by temporarily reassigning work. People are already having babies or medical crises, so that's generally how it's done. In states that implemented it, they had a significantly easier time managing long absences. With an insurance premium, because you're not doing that dollar-for-dollar wage replacement yourself, the insurance company is doing it. I believe Ms. Yosef spoke to the fact that this would significantly help her because they'd be able to afford, you know, contractors or other folks to come in and take up that workload, whereas if you're self-insuring, the finances become a little bit tighter. In California, they saw a 14% decrease in total labor costs. It had a 92% positive impact on employee turnover. There's so many studies that I'm happy to share. Last thing I wanted to clarify with premiums, so just to reflect, we kind of call our bill based on the New Hampshire model. The way that we have this structure is completely voluntary, and it gives every employer complete flexibility of how they want to offer this. So an employer can be like Mr. Vanchuk and offer it and pay the premium, or if you don't have the ability to do that, you can offer this benefit and your employees pay that premium through their paycheck, or you can cover it 50-50. So we want this to be as beneficial and leave it up to employers as possible versus putting any kind of mandates in this bill.
Okay, thank you. Oliver.
Last one.
Yes, very good. Yes. So in the bill itself, it appears to me that the state is going to cover the insurance risk as opposed to a private company covering the insurance risk. The state.
Representative Fox, through the chair, the state will be covering the premium for state employers, and for everyone else, it's up to that employer. And there will be a bidding process for a third-party insurance company who is bearing all of the risk. The state is not bearing any risk.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you. And I'll be happy to read the rest of this.
Representative Seven, the record explaining the benefits of this. I guess if I'm missing something, I guess we don't have fiscal notes with the CS yet, but the insurance company is not offering this gratis. Someone's going to pay the insurance company. They have to state employees. I understand that private employers and other parts of the school pay their costs, but how much is it going to cost the state to provide this insurance? And is there an estimation of how much additional it might cost to make sure the monthly premium per person legally permitted by the state for $5? But what's it going to cost us?
For the record, Tristan Walsh, staff director of Armstrong, the chair, Representative Sumner. In the initial version of the bill, version A, we had there should be a document on basis of the New York files that we worked with legislative finance on, where essentially we tried to estimate the cost for the state workforce if we did a dollar for dollar wage replacement, which is essentially what self-insuring is, and that's what many small businesses do currently or have to try to do. So that was essentially, I think, ballpark around $17 to $20 million for all the workforce, including teachers. The pivot in version B of this bill is that essentially you'll go from dollar for dollar wage replacement for every weekly salary for someone who takes that leave to simply payment. And what's interesting is that this is where essentially the state already has existing infrastructure with this by currently running a voluntary short-term disability plan. It's basically the same concept as wage replacement. And so I went into the portal and did my calculations and estimate, I think it was last year, so admittedly as someone with no dependents, my premium that I would pay to the provider MetLife was, I think, $8.80. And so that's where the $5 number is simply the concept we took over from the New Hampshire model, and it's possible that the providers would say that similar state, there might be some ones there to adjust. However, the state would essentially be paying through a contract, an RFP, to make better the cost of providing this to the workforce.
And so how much would that be?
I hesitate to put an actuary. I'm not an actuary, so that's where we work with legislative finance on dollar for dollar wage replacement, but that is where you go simply from $7 to $20 million, probably at least time and a half, it would seem. That would be a fair concept.
Same.
I think it would be fair to say cutting it in half, because you would simply be paying the premium. And since a voluntary pool of short-term disability is actually, generally speaking, smaller, a larger pool for state employees would probably be in concept easier for a provider to offer that over me.
So just make sure that you're like, so you're thinking the version A, I'm sorry, version B, I'm sorry, the CSPS would be somewhere around that $10,000 space cost.
For the record, that seems possible, but again, I can have a cabinet that I am not an actuary.
So look forward to seeing part numbers on paper.
Representative Gilson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I know we got to go, but maybe Ms. Gilson-Yosef can get back to us about kind of best practices around parental leave. It appears about what are the data about duration of care after having a baby. I think the standard for developed countries is 6 months to 12 months, but maybe she can provide that with us and help answer Representative Wright's question.
Okay, we have set an amendment deadline for Monday, January 22nd at 11 a.m., and we will hear this bill that afternoon at 3:15 p.m. That concludes our business today. Seeing no other business for the committee, we will adjourn.